back to Oral Roberts losing his son, Ronnie, to suicide. Your thoughts about the right to take your own life? I'm hesitating here because I interviewed Boston Avenue Methodist Muzan Biggs.
Muzan, yeah.
And he says that he was a counsel to Oral Roberts when that happened. That Oral called him and he was one of several counsel to him. For those who listen, maybe they've lost children, parents, to suicide. In your view, how are we to view this?
Very first funeral I performed when I got to Tulsa was for a member of the city council who blew his brains out in Mayo Hotel. I've forgotten his name now. I did the service. And as a matter of fact, it was at Moore's Curie. And I said that I could understand what may have been wrong, but there was no sin in it. Things may have happened that we'll never know, but there's no sin in it. And I believe that. I do not believe it is a mortal sin to take your own life. I think that is, again, what I refer to as 6th-century theology. Of course, I take pro-life is 12th-century theology.
Didn't you organize something called the Hemlock Society?
Hemlock Society, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, the Hemlock Society, or a chapter of the Hemlock Society, would provide people with the way to do it with drugs and would give you prescriptions for doing it. You'd go to Mexico and get them in those days. And would support people. You know, I would tell you when I put my pulpit on the...
You mean when you auctioned it off?
When I auctioned it off.
You got who bought your pulpit...
Was a guy by the name of Divine. His last name is Divine. He's retired. He was an anesthesiologist, I believe, at St. Francis. We had just started our television at All Souls. We got a grant from OSU, Stillwater OSU. And he did... I think it was 10 or 12 programs on euthanasia with him and different other people. It was one of the first kinds of things in the country, that series. So that was really early on, because we started television in the middle 70s. The Hemlock Society had its meetings at the church. Then Dixon Burns was a OBGYN here in town for years and years and years. He was my wife's doctor. And Dixon, when he retired, went into medical ethics and was on the faculty at North Carolina and University of Illinois and lived here part of the time. He had researched the law, albeit he was an MD, but he had researched the law to parade rest. He and I did a series at the library, public library, here and in Bartlesville. We were lucky to get out of Bartlesville alive. He gave the history of suicide law and so forth, and I gave the pastoral side of the thing. Why and in what ways? For example, I'm personally acquainted with a panic attack. It is the most horrendous thing. It's not describable. It is so bad. The nearest thing I could come to it probably would be waterboarding. Something like that. It is so awful.
This comes to me as a total surprise. You personally have experienced panic attacks.
Yeah.
A man who's always been at the center of many controversies out there would never believe that you would be of some nature.
Oh, it's a physical thing. It's not a psychological thing at all. Well... Mine was related to, I had 6 bypasses and atrial fib before that. As Gingrich would say, I worked far too hard. It was a Christmas Eve. The family had all gone home and I was there. I was in and out anyway. I was in the recovery after bypass surgery.
What era? What time? 70s, 80s?
93. And fortunately, there was an old World War II nurse on duty. You know, a World War II nurse, because she still had a cap, and she called other nurses by their surnames, and this thing hit me. I came out of this thing. It's how terribly claustrophobic, and I had this awful feeling that I had this thing still in my throat. I punched the button, and she walked in, took one look at me. She says, I know what's the matter with you. Walked out, came back, and put this thing, just knocked me colder than a clam. And I thank God I had somebody like that. right there to take care of it.
And so was this the first time then you'd ever experienced a panic attack? So she just knocked it out of you?
Just knocked it out of me. Later on, I knew people who had agoraphobia, for example. One of our neighbors was agoraphobic. And I could never understand quite why she couldn't deal with this until I had an experience like this. One of the doctors in the congregation, internist, Muslim, by the way, Egyptian, when he first came to town, I'd gotten him his first patient. I was out making parish calls, and this woman was sick, and she didn't have a doctor, and I called him, and he came. Many, many, many years later, I went to see him. He was in hospital for something. And he says, I just been to hell. And he'd had one. He was trying to tell me about it, and I didn't quite get it until I had one of my own.
But you were raising the issue of panic attacks in relation to taking your own life.
I can understand why anybody would. It is something so horrendous that you'll do anything to stop it, if you have the means at hand. There's that kind of thing. There are other things, not the least of them being what people go through now with Alzheimer's, where they're no longer going to be in control.
I'm trying to think, you would know this. Where is it in the Bible that we shall not take our own life?
In Leviticus, there's one place.
What does it state?
I can't remember that exactly.
Isn't there another place that's more famous?
It's a psalm, too.
And that says?
I've forgotten that, too. But the gist of it is, this is God's decision, nobody else's.
All right, so then you certainly have had that argument thrown up against you. And how do you square with that?
Martin Luther, it's the word of God, stupid. It's not the words of God. The words of God means you interpret the Bible literally. I mean, text for text, word for word, you know, is to be taken as law. The word of God is the revelation that there is that in the nature of things which squares with who we are, the divine and the human, or the human and the divine, God with us, Emmanuel, incarnation. However, revealed to us, if you're a Jew, through the law, through Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, a man, which is an abomination to a Jew. Norbert Rosenthal and I used to scream at one another in the parking lot of St. Francis Hospital in the middle of summer, talking about the incarnation. You know? We just had a wonderful time. But what is the revelation? It's the law. No, it isn't. It's in us. Mm-hmm. So forth and so on. This is where Clarence and I had a fundamental understanding. He was fundamentalist, but a fundamentalist in the Lutheran sense, not in the evangelical sense. So a quote like that, like any of a variety of things, like homosexuality and all this kind of stuff, you have to take them contextually for what they are. Don't take any absolute word. Thou shalt not kill, for example. So what does that mean? Well, you've got libraries dedicated to interpreting what that means. True biblical scholars do not take the Bible that literally. They can point to these things, but it's not authoritative. In other words, the Bible is not a recipe for behavior. The Bible is an insight into the nature of the human condition, and a profound one. Many splintered one, because it's a library. The Bible is really a library of books.